Thank you so much for coming today. My name is Harry Mount, editor of the greatest magazine in the solar system, The Oldie. And I'm so sorry that some of you might have been delayed today by Mr. Trump's visit to London. Now, President Trump can try to close down London, but he will never close down the Oldie lunch. And there is a special treat for you today. You should find these slips of paper offering an exclusive offer to all of you here today at lunch to buy the perfect Christmas present, an incredibly cheap subscription to the Oldie, but the closing date is December the 13th. Now we've got three dazzling speakers today. We've also got the best MC in the business. He's worked with everyone from Max Miller to the two Ronnies, and he is in fact on the cover of the Oldie Christmas issue because among his many talents, he wrote three Morecambe and Wise Christmas specials. He is the one, the only, Mr. Barry Cryer.
Thank you, Harry. Welcome all. I've been asked to announce, actually, after the you've had your lunch and our authors and the book signing and everything, there will be a Brexit debate. This will last for 18 hours. And please inform your families if you're staying on for it. Right. We have a ritual at convention, the regulars here will know, before I introduce our authors, the parrot joke. And as I always say, if you're tempted to join in, please don't. It spoils it for the few who haven't heard it. Woman walked into a shop and saw a beautiful blue and gold parrot, and she said to the man, "He's gorgeous, how much?" He said, £20, £20. She said, £20? He's beautiful. He said, "Well, I've got to give you, he has form, he has history. He was in a brothel. And to put it delicately, he's got quite an extensive vocabulary." She thought, £20, I'll take a chance on that. Took it back to her flat and took the cover off. And the parrot looked round and said, "New place, very nice." And her two daughters walked in and the parrot said, "New place, new girls, very nice indeed." And her husband walked in and the parrot said, "Hello, Keith." Now, I now have the presumption to introduce in rhyme a book which celebrates time after time the joy of verse in dancing by the light of the moon. Our author believes learning poetry is a boon, boosting our memory. I must admit that my poetry, compared to an oak, is just a lower tree. If you think that's a bad rhyme, don't hold your breath. I've given up trying to rhyme with brandreth. This book is by a stylist of styles. Welcome our author, Giles Brandreth.
Thank you, Barry. Oh, I have to say that there are two people in the world who I think are wonderful, in whose presence one feels warmer. One is Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who is lovely. He's like a bundle of sunshine. And actually, Barry, you're beginning to look a little bit like him. The other is Barry Cryer. You are a bundle of sunshine. Thank you so much. You're wonderful. I am feeling quite bonny, it must be said. Victoria very sweetly said I was going to cheer people up, and I couldn't be more cheerful because I've secured a wonderful new job that I think is going to sustain me over the next couple of years because it's a two-year contract. I don't know if any of you watch ITV3 of an afternoon, but I am now the voiceover for one of their commercials. Exactly. And you will soon be hearing my voice on a regular basis as you watch repeats of old episodes of Midsummer Murders. I, have become the new voice of the Tenor Flex Plus Super Soft Incontinence Pad. Yay! Not only are you applauding, some of you I know are thinking, oh, actually, maybe I hope you'll get on with it because I do need a comfort break. I have to say, I can talk for as long as I want without having to leave the room. Yay! I'm having a wonderful few weeks because I'm enjoying the election, believe it or not. I may be the only person in the country who is, because I'm actually out on the doorstep. I'm campaigning on behalf of my daughter, who is a candidate. Isn't it wonderful that young people are ready to do this? My daughter is the candidate in Kingston and Surbiton, and last week I was knocking on the door with one of her leaflets. I produced amazing. People seem to be dressed in pajamas during the afternoon. Anyway, no. I knocked on this door, and actually a very respectably dressed gentleman answered the door. I shoved the leaflet in his face, and I said, I hope you will support my daughter in the election on the 12th of December. And he glanced at the leaflet and said, what's she got to offer then? What's she got to offer? Immediately I replied, integrity and intelligence. He looked at me beadily and said, are you sure she's your daughter? I haven't come alone today. You are in the presence of 232 years of the Brandreth family. I have brought my two sisters with me. Here we are. These are my sisters. Yay! This is rather reducing the repertoire of stories I can share with you because they do know the truth. But the truth is that this book, Dancing by the Light of the Moon, is inspired by our father. Our father, which art in heaven now, sadly, was born in 1910. And he and his sisters and his brother, that means they were brought up before the radio, before the television, before the moving pictures had sound. And they did, as Victoria was alluding to, they entertained themselves around the fire at Christmas time. They would tell stories to one another, they would play games, they would sit at the parlor, and they would recite poetry to one another. And you will vouch for this, our father had in his head, in the rattle bag of his mind, a whole repertoire of poetry from Edward Lear, Lewis Carroll, John Milton. He loved long poems, short poems, the ruthless rhymes of Harry Graham. Late last night I slew my wife, laid her on the parquet flooring. I was loath to take her life, but I had to stop her snoring. So we were brought up believing that poetry is good for you. And last year, a friend of mine who was a radio producer said, Charles, you bang on about poetry being good for you. We know it's good for you. Lovely for the Brandreth family. It's not good for everybody. I said, I believe it is. He said, go and prove it. And I went out to prove that poetry, and particularly learning poetry by heart, is good for you. And the first place I visited was the Memory Laboratory at Cambridge University. And I met a Professor Goswami. She took me into the Memory Laboratory. First of all, we passed some children, small children, who were babies and infants, with their parents. And they all had sort of electrodes attached to their heads, the children. I said, what's going on here? And it turns out they were doing serious work about dyslexia and trying to find a cure. But they said, we found, said Professor Goswami, incidentally, something quite interesting. And that's this, that with these, they were measuring the brain waves of these children. If you speak poetry, rhythmical poetry, to small children, babies, and then for the last 3 months before they're born, and newborn babies, and when they're toddlers, if you speak poetry to them on a regular basis, those children will learn to speak sooner and better, will learn to read sooner and better, and will learn to write sooner and better than if you did not speak rhythmical poetry to them. By speaking poetry on a regular basis to babies and small children, you increase their facility with the language. What a wonderful thing. She said, but it's more interesting for you upstairs because there's some interesting stuff for older people, which I think is perhaps more relevant to you. I said, oh, thank you. And this is what she explained to me. She said, learning poetry by heart, you're advocating it, you're quite right to do so, because there is now a great deal of evidence that learning poetry by heart can delay dementia, can help keep dementia at bay. The brain, it's a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. But if you learn poetry by heart, well, you're keeping those synapses all juiced up. It can actually help keep dementia at bay. Learning something new, learning a poem by heart. I said, but it's quite difficult. I'm having these senior moments are nothing to do with memory. Senior moments are to do with retrieval. Your brain is like a computer. Of course, when you're a child, there's nothing in there, so you can fill it up and it's fine. You remember everything. But as the years go by, there's more and more and more in there. And, you know, it's over full. The senior moment is when you're sitting at dinner, as I was two nights ago, saying to your neighbor, brief encounter, Celia Johnson, and 2 a.m, I phoned him and said, Trevor Howard! I hadn't forgotten, it was retrieval. The senior moment is about retrieval. It's not to do with memory. The good news is this, ladies and gentlemen. The hippocampus, the part of the brain that processes memory, you grow as many new cells in your hippocampus at 70 as you did at 17. Yeah. And that is why, if you stop to think about it, I saw last week that Maggie Smith won yet another award, if you saw her in that play earlier this year, 110 minutes on stage, word perfect, 85 this December. Dame Judi Dench appearing in several films this year, word perfect, 85 this December. Dame Eileen Atkins, as we sit here, she's appearing on Broadway, word perfect, 85 this year. I've been working with lovely Sheila Hancock. We've been doing a celebrity gogglebox together. Oh, what fun that is. The shows we have seen, I have to tell you. Naked Attraction. It was quite exciting, actually, having an 87-year-old woman explaining to me what a fanny flutter was. Anyway. I went home and told my wife. She said, well, that's passed me by. Anyway. But the point is this. Sheila Hancock was in a new play in the spring of this year at the Chichester Festival Theatre. Word perfect. Got all the reviews. 87 this year. It's not to do with age, ladies and gentlemen. It's to do with application and actually wanting to learn the poems. Listening to the radio is interesting. Watching television can be fun. You need to lean forward, though, when you learn a poem by heart. And so this book is about the science of learning poetry by heart. It's about telling you how to learn a poem by heart. It's quite easy to do if you just take it 2 lines at a time. There once was a man from Peru. Can we all say that together? There once was a man from Peru. Gosh, you've learnt the first line. The second line goes like this, okay? There once was a man from Peru. Say it again. There once was a man from Peru whose limericks stopped at line 2. Whose limericks stopped at line 2. That's the end of the poem. But the point is, you seem to have mastered the poem already. If you can learn 2 lines in literally 2 minutes, and you really can, I rest assured, later tonight, when you're doing that flossing, you'll think it was a bit of a ridiculous stunt. The fellow on Louis XIV, he was interesting, wasn't he? And Victoria, it was a lovely idea there. But actually, that poem, it'll be going through your head. There was a young man from Peru's limerick starts ridiculous, but why not? You will remember it. You will remember. If you can learn 2 lines a day, and the next day learn another 2 lines, within a week, you can have learned a sonnet. In 7 days, 2 lines a day, you can learn an entire sonnet. Think of the satisfaction. If this time next week, we had all learnt a sonnet, wouldn't that be wonderful? And it can be done. And so what I've done with this book is basically include, it's a beautiful book, nice and thick, oh, yay, yay, yay. It's only $14.99, so it's about tuppence a poem. What I've done is really include all the poems that our father would have loved and our mother too, all the favourites, the Kipling, the Wordsworth, all of those ones are in there, everything you'd expect, the Keats, Too Vast and Trunctus, Legs of Stone, and all that, I know it's Shelley, all that sort of stuff is in there, the Lewis Carroll, the Edward Lear, but there's modern stuff as well, even a few Insta poets. It's fun, and the joy of it is, and there's love poetry. I researched this with some young people. I went to see some students. I'm the Chancellor of the University of Chester. I went to see some young students there, aged 19, 20, 21, to talk to them about love poetry and love letters. This was just for Valentine's Day. Not one of them had ever read a love poem. Not one of them had ever sent or received a love letter containing a love poem. Indeed, one of the young men, when I talked about love letters, he was totally confused. He thought love letters was some form of contraception. I said to him, no, I think you're thinking of French letters. He said, no, I don't think so, not after Brexit. And I said to the girl, if you fancy a boy, what do you send him if not a love letter or a love poem? She said, well, I suppose I send him a text or an emoji. It's an emoji, If you really fancy him, well, an emoji with a smiley face. But if you really fancy him, she said, well, smiley face, the tongue hanging out. Doesn't quite rival, shall I compare thee to a summer's day, does it? poetry is there. Poetry is exciting and it's beautiful. You mentioned young people and old people. I've had a project this year where a project called Poetry Together. You can look it up, poetrytogether.com. And we've had 250 schools taking part. And children, aged 5 to 18, have been getting together and learning a poem all together. And then they, from the school, have got in touch with the local old folks' home. People in care homes, people, some of them suffering from dementia. They've got together with those old folk and they invited them to learn the same poem. And then the school has invited the old folk up to the school for tea, cake, and a poetry session. And we did a pilot of this early in the year at the Chelsea Hospital. And we had 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds with 80 and 90-year-old old soldiers in their scarlet uniforms. And the old soldiers, they dressed the children up in the scarlet uniforms, and we left them to do whatever they wanted, and then they marched into the room. We sat there waiting. They marched into the room going all together, the 7-year-olds and the 80 and 90-year-olds. They all marched in going, "We're changing guard at Buckingham Palace. Christopher Robin went down with Alice." And then a 90-year-old and a 40-year-old boy recited a war poem by Siegfried Sassoon in unison. There wasn't a dry eye in the house, but it's exactly what you were talking about, the communication between young people and older people, and it was profoundly moving. And for this Christmas, I've said to my grandchildren, people sometimes say to me, "Why are you still working at your age?" And I say this in the presence of my distinguished publisher, "It's because I need the money." I have 3 children and 7 grandchildren, and I've discovered over the years money is the one thing keeping me in touch with them. But I've said to my grandchildren, for this Christmas, I don't need, Grandpa doesn't need any more socks, and Grandma says Grandpa shouldn't have any more chocolates. So what I want you to give me for Christmas, I've said this to each of the 7 grandchildren, is a poem. Please. I've given each of the grandchildren a copy of the book, and I've said, please find a poem in this book and learn a poem by heart. And they're short poems, they're poems for children, they're older poems, and they're having fun doing it. One's learning McCavity by T.S. Eliot. They're all learning different poems, some quite, and they're loving doing it. And it's fun for us to rehearse it with them. Then on Christmas Day, we're all going to get around and we're all going to perform a poem one to another. Costs nobody anything, but actually, for us, the older ones, it's going to keep dementia at bay, and for them, it's going to be a special and magical thing. And if you learn a poem when you're a child, the ones that are in your heads are ones you learned as children. We're giving them something that they'll have for the rest of their lives. So what's going to happen now, ladies and gentlemen? I hope you will all do that with your children and grandchildren. We are going out, the 3 authors, the king, Sun King himself, and Victoria, who is so beautiful and has coped with a very challenging marriage. We will be outside now signing books for you and for your grandchildren as well for Christmas. And the reason I say this, we love books. We love books, and I'd like to thank the old, if I may say so, for having these. We love a real book, a book you can smell and touch, a book with end papers, a real book with pages. Thank you for celebrating the book. They are our friends, the one lot of friends you can rely on in life. My wife keeps saying to me, "Men, I'm afraid you can't rely on them. You know, you really can't. They either run off with the secretary or they die on you." Men are ultimately disappointing, but books you can rely on. You can take a book on holiday. You can take a book on the bus. You can take a book wherever you can go. You can even go to bed with a book and not wake up with a disease. I'm going to end, if I may, with 4 lines by Hilaire Belloc, my favorite lines, because books are our best friends. And these are 4 lines by Hilaire Belloc that are some of my favorite lines of poetry, and they're in this book too. From quiet homes and first beginning, out to the undiscovered ends, there's nothing worth the wear of winning but laughter and the love of friends. Thank you for your laughter, and here's to friendship. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Giles. There was a young man from Bombay who sailed out to China one day. He was strapped to the tiller with a sex-starved gorilla, and China's a bloody long way. My name is Desmond Tutu. Thank you.